Hello and welcome. Thanks for tuning in to Breaking Bread. I'm Matt Kaufman. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and to help prepare our hearts and minds, I would like to replay a conversation I had with Caleb Beyer and Ryan Suter in our Joyfully Living series on the issue of Thanksgiving. I pray it will be helpful in gathering your thoughts for Thanksgiving. Caleb, what do we mean by living with Thanksgiving, and how does that have anything to do with the joyful life?
Mm-hmm. There's a number of references throughout Scripture that we're reminded to be thankful, right? It's really about expressing gratitude for goodness in our lives or the goodness in the lives of others. It doesn't mean that it always comes easily or that it comes naturally, but it's something that is good for us. And I think the beauty that I look forward to unpacking is how that can bring joy to our life.
Which seems a little bit counterintuitive right out the start, that we would that joyful or thanksgiving would be a part of the prescription for joyful living, whereas typically we might think that thanksgiving might be the outgrowth of a joyful life. Mm-hmm. Am I right with that juxtaposition there?
We are called in Scripture to thankfulness, period. And so that times it that's going to be a lot more difficult when we're not starting in a place that's easy or things are going our way and then we're thankful. But what does it look like to start with thankfulness regardless of circumstances? And I think first and foremost for us as believers to be able to be thankful because we know of God and His goodness, and that's really the foundation of where we start. So therefore, no matter what our circumstances are, we can focus on that, but no doubt a challenge.
You've got me as your client here across the table with a furrowed brow saying, all right, I'm supposed to be thankful.
You've I've just got this come one, to- Caleb.
I've just come to you and shared all these problems, okay? But how do you counsel your clients who are going through hard stuff, and you say, you bring up this Thanksgiving piece, and they furrow their brow and look at you and saying, seriously now? What are some of the talking points that you give to help bring that person to that point of thankfulness?
If we're working with somebody or even ourselves in the midst of really hard, painful things, we would not start with thankfulness. Like, I think we would start with mourning and weeping with them and hurting. So I think if that's where you're at, that's part of the journey. But the process of then moving into, okay, it is hard, and now I want to start looking for those small things. What does it look like to rejoice in the fact that there's food on the table, even though that I don't want to eat it, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. What does it look like to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that so on and so forth, even in the midst of not feeling that, not even wanting to do that, and that's a really painful, deep place to start, but it's a wonderful sacrifice.
What I hear from this, too, is a bit of normalizing what we mean by thankfulness, and I think coming into this conversation, we might think that, well, thankfulness is easy, thankfulness is automatic, thankfulness comes out when I am thankful. I'm thankful when I'm thankful. But what you're suggesting is quite different, and I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, that is the point, and I think it even goes back to some of the earlier podcasts that we talked about, but that just accepting the fact that this is hard, allowing yourself to be in the difficulty while you struggle and you fight for thankfulness, that is a good thing to do, even though it's very painful.
That we're in spots that quite frankly, we aren't thankful, but even beginning the practice of expressing that, even when we don't feel it, can be a step right in
the right direction. Yeah, you know, I think of Paul and Silas in prison, in the Philippian jail, right? Mm-hmm. And they're singing praises to God. And the question that occurred to me is I've often thought that they must have been happy, therefore they were singing.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. Or was happiness an outgrowth of their singing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you follow that?
I do. And I think, too, that's a great example of it depends on how you look at your circumstances. So for them, it was, we're counted worthy to suffer for the gospel, and out of that pours thanksgiving.
It makes me think that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, and that as we begin to recognize and cultivate that gratitude and thanksgiving, as hard as it is, right, it points us back to the author or the giver of those good things, and so connects us with the, as Ryan was talking about, right, connects us with the source of life.
And so you've made a direct link, Caleb, to being thankful and being faithful, having a faith. And so we might link these two terms together. It requires faith to be thankful. Am I right with that?
Oh, I think so. I think it so requires faith when you read a verse, whatever that is, to believe that, to hold on to that and rejoice in that when everything around you seems seems contrary to that. It takes faith to walk through that.
And now that brings some clarity to me. Like, oh, that's why God asks me to be thankful. Because it is good. It is worship to Him, and it's faith, evidence of faith towards Him. So you're challenging me to a much more mature view of Thanksgiving than what we might be teaching to our children to say thank you after something, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm fascinated a little bit by where Thanksgiving arises in history. We have the Thanksgiving holiday, and what did that come out of? Well, it came out of an awful winter at Plymouth, right? And then we have Abraham Lincoln setting that aside as a national holiday. Well, when did he do that? Well, that was during the Civil War. I believe Martin Rinkert, in a battle on the cusp of being under siege in Germany, he writes this hymn of, "Now thank we all our God." So we see that some of the most profound and impactful thanksgivings in history comes on the cusp of what you're speaking of here today.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is. It's one of those fascinating things in life where our natural tendency is, give me the easy road and then I'll be thankful. But always in Scripture, and I think as you're just describing there in history, it says that through hard things, it helps us see the things when it is positive or when it is good. And out of that pours Thanksgiving, not necessarily just, you know, you wake up and every day is 70 degrees. And, you know, I remember I was so impacted when I was a young man. There was an older brother stood up and prayed to start off a Sunday school that morning. And it was just a terrible, awful day. The only reason I remember that is because he said, "Lord, thank you for days like this that make me grateful for the days that are 65 and nice." And it just like, I'm like, what is this guy talking about? but it just stuck with me. It's just fascinating.
And that day was redeemed in a sense in terms of its worth.
Yeah, right. He saw the value in it and saw that even though it, you know, by the very nature of the day, it was not necessarily a good day, it cultivated thankfulness because he anticipated the good that was down the road, or he remembered the good that he experienced before that was contrasted by the struggle that was there, you know.
And that's a huge aha for me, even right now as we sit, that Thanksgiving redeems the situations in our life. So I feel like it really is incumbent upon the answer to this question I'd like to pose to you, brothers, because I feel like if, depending on the answer to this question, I see Thanksgiving as doable, but without, I don't see it doable, and that is this. Is God possible to wield good out of every dark situation of my life? Because if the answer to that question is yes, then I can see, okay, I can muster up Thanksgiving. But if the answer to that is no, then I think this is pie in the sky stuff.
That's right. You're exactly right. That if God is able to redeem, there's hope. And Thanksgiving makes sense. But if it's not, there's nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. So I think, in my mind, a fundamental key to Thanksgiving is seeing God for who He is and being able to trust that He's big enough to have all of it in His hands, even though it doesn't make sense to you right here, right now. It may not make sense to anybody, but we say, I trust the one that's over all of this.
Yeah. And I think that connects that piece of faith, the foundation piece, or connecting the faith with Thanksgiving, even when I can't see it, when I don't have the ability to bring it to mind, that in this darkness or struggle, that God can bring light, that He can that he can redeem it.
And I think that's actually speaks right out of the writings of some of the sages of the past. I think of St. John of the Cross, who would write and talk about how when all of the five senses fail, you're left mm-hmm. with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm hearing a little bit. And I think that my Thanksgiving in the past has been propped up by my five senses.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're suggesting is that sometimes when the five senses fail us and then we are left only with the facts of God, mm-hmm. can I worship and be thankful? And when I do, I worship faithfully in the truest sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's... And I guess what I would say with that, and I would encourage people, there's some of you right now that are in the midst of the dark, difficult. And I want to encourage these things in you. And I would also say, those of you who are not, this is a great time to just pour foundation. Like, try over the next week that when you thank the Lord, that it's not about any of your circumstances. It's based on who God is versus what he's given you. Like, it's okay to thank him for the food that's on your plate, but try to be bigger than that this week, to build foundation that says, Lord, I am grateful because I know you are the provider. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Can you speak from experience, having talked to a lot of clients, and more broadly than that, your life experience, that you have found, you have interacted with people with great deep hurts who have exercised this and thereby have lived joyfully?
I would say yes to that. And I think those, as I reflect on who do I want to be at the end of life's road, you know, what do I want to look like? I think of men and women that I've either sat across from or that I've met with over lunch or, you know, interacted with life or even, you know, those are the kind of men and women that I'm just like, Lord, give me that. I want. I don't know.
No. So you're saying yes to my question. You have interacted with them, and I'll give you a chance, Caleb, to jump in on this as well. But you're also saying, Brian, that is like the most compelling life, right?
Yeah.
It's one that if you could embody or example, it would be that one.
Yes, yeah. And I think in those, to go back to your point earlier, that when you see that in people, you see it forged not by freedom of challenges, but you see that forged through them walking.
Through the challenge.
Yes, through the fires. Those are the men and women who seem to have that. So the thing that I have to remind myself of, if that's what I want, I don't get the good end of it and I without the lack of the other. So that means I'm going to go through fires, and those fires, depending on how I walk through that and where my mindset is, either takes me to that place of where I want to go, or it takes me to the other side of that bitter, angry, everything is awful perspective. And we've seen that as well. And that's not a place we want to end either.
Yeah. Mm. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Caleb?
Yeah, and answer your question. I think that's the beauty of being able to walk along individuals, right, who walk through those struggles and to see come out of that, the Thanksgiving part, and to see the life and the light shine through darkness, is to walk with individuals who are in a hard place or couples in a hard place, and then to witness how God redeems that.
And how motivating that is. And now that speaks to the joy that we're talking about here. I can think, if we have a difficult situation that we're carrying, right, and it drains us of joy, before this conversation, I would have thought, okay, we want to be joyful. That means we need to resolve the situation. After all, it is draining my joy. But you're suggesting in this conversation that there is two ways, perhaps probably more, but two ways. Yeah. One, yeah, resolve that situation so that you're happy with it. But one that we can do right now would be give thanks in it.
And we acknowledge this is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in doing that in the midst of it, another thing that can hang people up is this belief that, well, if I'm gonna be thankful, that means I need to feel it. And you're not always going to feel it. That's not a requirement for thankfulness.
So here's a hypothesis.
Yeah.
The more difficult, the more worshipful. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
The more difficult the issue to give thanks, the more faith that we are relinquishing to God.
I think that's an option. Yes. You know.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That sometimes the darker the situation, the more poised we are to give glory to God through the avenue of thanks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can look at it through that perspective again, it gives us hope and gives us a lens through which to be thankful for. But if we look at it through the lens of, is this too big for me, or why, or this doesn't make sense, then the bigness of how dark it is again takes us down that road of Satan being able to devour us. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. The darker the night, the bigger the redemption and the glory. And you see that commonly through the scripture. You know, the Lord strips away and strips away and strips away until there's no other hope than him. If he doesn't show up, you're done, right?
I love this story, and you've probably read it, and our listeners are probably aware of the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Mm. And There in the Hiding Place is the book that she wrote. And she and her sister were in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück. Mm. And they had fleas in the camp, in the barracks, just fleas, like awful. And it was miserable. And Betsy is Corey's sister. And Betsy turns to Corey and says, "Corey, we need to give thanks for the fleas." And Corey said, "All right, stop already. you've been telling me to be thankful this whole journey. And I'm putting a stop at the fleas. There's no reason we need to be thankful for these fleas." Well, they were thankful for the fleas. And on it goes. And it wasn't until afterwards, okay, they found out that the guards at Ravensbrück would not go into that barrack because of the fleas. Mm. And because they weren't coming into the barrack, they had Bible studies and led women to Christ. It was the fleas. But we're not wise enough to know, are we? We're not wise enough to know what we shouldn't give thanks for.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a powerful reminder that if we could see things through God's eyes, I think we would always give thanks. Mm-hmm. But we're not always given that privilege. And therefore, sometimes, again, it comes back to that faith of we've just got to trust that that's the case. That he is working something out good here, even in the midst of things that cannot be good in our mind and in our eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I think really ties back into some of the intentionality pieces, right? As we think about that this doesn't come naturally and we're not able to see it. It becomes a practice and cultivating something that's a process over time that we continually, right, come back to. It's not a point that we achieve. Get to.
But something we grow into. And Brian, you made this point about, I think, or I took away this point from some of the things that you mentioned, that we should probably be practicing this. Mm-hmm. Should I expect, okay, maybe I'm in a situation right now that doesn't have a lot of hurts in my life, and maybe things are going smoothly. Mm-hmm. Some of our listeners, many of you, think life is going smoothly. Should we expect that Thanksgiving is going to bubble forth when we're tried and hit? If we're not actively being thankful in the good times.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be incongruent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's just such an important thing for all of us to remember that we are called to this no matter where we're at. And if we don't practice it and cultivate that in our lives when there aren't really difficult circumstances, to try to build that and start that in the midst of hurt and pain, you're setting yourself up for a harder road, and so it's wise to start right here, right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think the analogy of gardening, right, and putting the seed in the ground that brings forth the fruit is a good analogy here of planting the seed and attending to it and fertilizing it so that the fruit of gratitude and thanksgiving can continue to come forth.
And I'm challenged by this conversation just to even think, how do I teach my children? Okay, because you know what? It has been on the tail end of circumstance. So maybe the next time they are sad, I should say, "Sweetie, let's give thanks for that," right? Mm-hmm. And you didn't get something from somebody. Well, let's say thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Dad, you have lost it. You have lost it. What are you talking about?
You need a re-education on Thanksgiving.
That's right, yeah. It does. I mean, even you give that silly example, but it's so true, like, it just speaks to how much that goes against our nature, and therefore doing this is so hard.
And it's really Christian. I don't know how you could have this viewpoint or have this this lifestyle
yeah.
without having a faith in God
mm-hmm.
And be a Christian,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? What is Thanksgiving outside of that understanding?
Oh my goodness. If you don't have that context, that in the darkness, that there is redemption, that there is light, it's law. I mean,
you have to wait for result.
Yeah, if the circumstances don't change, there's no mm-hmm. there's nothing to be thankful for. Yeah, I mean that's all it would be based on, apart from a biblical worldview that says God is in control. He's at work here. All life has value. All life is, you know, created in His image, so on and so forth. Without those fundamental things present, yeah, thankfulness is a shallow thing that's based on circumstances.
Brothers, thank you. This I think is so hugely important, and I think speaks just exactly to what we're talking about with being joyful. And this is a huge action point, very challenging for me. I know that it's impactful and will be impactful in the way that I think from this day forward. I'd like to conclude just by painting a brief picture of Jesus. He's there on the mountainside. And there's 5,000 around Him. Everybody's hungry. There's no food to be eaten. He's getting approached by people. He's no doubt, you know, wore thin. Mm-hmm. He calls a little boy aside. They get this small sack lunch. And in the midst of that, Jesus does, the first thing He does is He gives thanks. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that thanksgiving, pours sustenance, mm-hmm. food, everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we're speaking of today? That mm-hmm. that in the midst of that need, Jesus expressed as a reaction, thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and then blessing follows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks again for being with us and bringing clarity to these issues. And to our listeners, wishing you a blessed Thanksgiving.